Yesterday, we brought you the first part of a conversation about PEI's Catherine Hughes. A book has recently been published about her called Catherine Hughes, A Life and a Journey. The author, Padraig O'Shiel, is the Darcy McGee Chair of Irish Studies at St. Mary's University. He's researched her for years, along with help from several PEI Irish scholars. Born in Emerald PEI in 1876, Catherine Hughes went on to have a diverse and fascinating career. She left PEI to teach on a reserve in Quebec. Then she moved to Edmonton and worked as a journalist and then an archivist. Our conversation picks up when she's become Alberta's first provincial archivist. I asked Padraig about her becoming an activist.
Well, in 1913, Catherine Hughes left Edmonton to go to London, England, and she took up an appointment with the government of Alberta. The government of Alberta had established the Agent General of Alberta office in London. It was a way to promote the interests of Alberta, to encourage new immigrants to come into Western Canada. And Catherine Hughes took up the position there as second in command of the office in London. But it was while she was in London that she meets up with Irish activists, including Padraig O'Connor, the Irish language writer. And the timing is actually very interesting because it's just before the start of the First World War. But not just that, it's a period when the British government are finally look as if they're about to give home rule for Ireland, the equivalent of dominion status to Ireland. But Catherine Hughes meets Irish activists there who are interested not in Ireland remaining part of the British Empire, but Ireland being an independent state. Similarly, for a figure like herself who was clearly interested in politics, my sense is she experienced in London a real disillusionment with Britishness and the British Empire, because from her perspective and from her new interest in Irish affairs, what seemed to struck her is that there were elements within the British establishment that were attempting to subvert the democratic process in order to deny Ireland its due rights. And I think that led to a sort of a certain souring on the part of Catherine Hughes with the whole idea of Britishness and the British Empire. And that, of course, matches with her newfound interest in Ireland.
So was she, beyond philosophically, was she actively involved in the movement or the pro-Ireland idea?
Once Hughes returns to North America in late 1915, soon after that, there is the Easter Rising in Ireland, when a small militant group essentially used the opportunity of the First World War to establish in name only an Irish Republic. And in many ways, that reaffirms for Catherine Hughes back in North America her interest in the cause of Ireland. And in the subsequent years, Catherine Hughes takes quite an activist role in the Irish independence movement. For example, in 1918-1919, she moves to the United States and she takes up a job as a lobbyist, as a propagandist on behalf of the Irish independence movement. She's linked in with activist organizations such as the Friends of Irish Freedom, to which she's the secretary. She organizes branches of Irish organizations throughout the United States. And in 1920, she is sent by Eamon de Valera, the president of the unilaterally declared Irish Republic, to return to Canada to set up a pro-Irish independence organization in Canada called the Self-Determination for Ireland League. And during the summer of 1920, Catherine Hughes travels across Canada, starts off in Halifax, goes off to Charlottetown, ends up in Vancouver, establishing branches of the Self-Determination League. Subsequently, she's sent off by de Valera to Australia and New Zealand to establish similar organizations. And in 1921, she's sent off by de Valera to France to organize what's known as the Irish World Congress. So yes, a real activist in the area of publicity and the area of propaganda for the cause of Irish independence.
When you look back on all of the research you've done about her and the writing and what you've come to know of her, what do you think Catherine Hughes's legacy is?
First of all, this is a woman who had been forgotten. In that sense, I think for me that there are two things that jump out. One is that part of her story is the story of women in Canada, the way in which they move into the professions, the way in which they start moving up in the world in the early years of the 20th century. But while the activities of a certain number of women, such as Emily Murphy and Nellie McClung, these are well known, someone like Catherine Hughes, because of the choices that she made, the fact that, for example, that she went with the cause of Ireland and appeared to be opposing the British Empire, that led to her marginalization within the story of women in Canada. Equally, a lot of commentators who have written about the Irish in Canada have spoken about the way, by the end of the 19th century, that the Irish were well integrated within Canada. And to a point, someone like Catherine Hughes confirms that. But the course of her career from 1913 onwards, the way in which she gets involved in activist elements, that area has not been sufficiently documented in the area of Irish-Canadian history, and it's only now, over the last number of years, that that area has been investigated to any great extent. So to some degree, Catherine Hughes has been a forgotten figure. The story kind of her life, in a way, starts to open up the possibility of looking at the story of Canadian women, the story of the Irish-Canadians, in new ways.
Are there questions you still have about her life?
Oh, loads and loads and loads. Some of it goes back to the question about the lack of personal diaries and the lack of personal correspondence. Because, of course, I call my book, Catherine Hughes, A Life and a Journey. And, of course, anybody dealing with life writing these days, they know that there's no such thing as the definitive life. This is my version. This is my telling of the story of Catherine Hughes. But in the final analysis, while I try to put some kind of order on the events, try and make sense of her rationalization, her thought process, that's really kind of, there's an element of reimagining in my part. There's just so much that I can speculate about, try to do it in an informed way, but certainly I cannot claim to know Catherine Hughes, to really understand everything that caused her to take the course of action that she did. Though I should add that as an individual, I'm a little bit sort of scared of someone like Catherine Hughes, who seems to have very strong views about various issues in the world and is willing to make the necessary sacrifices in her career to make these things happen.
Well, I think you've paid her great tribute, and it's a piece of our history that many of us knew nothing about, and it's a very good read.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you. Patrick O'Shale is the author of Catherine Hughes, A Life and a Journey. It's published by Penumbra Press and is available in a number of Island bookstores. And also a big thanks to John Flood for his help with this story.